I was reminded just recently that on any given morning like this, like, you know, we tape things and so on, as you probably know, and in any given week, probably about 1,000 people out there, from what our stats tell us, are actually watching online. So if you're out there online, hello, glad to have you here. We've been talking about transformers. One of the things that God wants to do in our hearts is that he wants to transform us. That's the promise. Power of the Spirit of God transforms us. But we have to cooperate with that. So our commitment is that we want to be a community of people who have been transformed by the good news of Jesus, so that, anybody know why? Say it, come on. So that we can be a transforming influence in the world. So we are transformed by the good news of Jesus so that we can be good news. We're transformed by the good news of Jesus so that we can be good news. Say it with me. We are transformed by the good news of Jesus so that we can be good news, so that we can have a transforming influence. Can you have a transforming influence if you've never been transformed? Pretty hard, isn't it? So I want to talk today about a part of this that probably gets more difficult than some of the others. So we're kind of increasing in difficult nature on these things. I want to talk about giving. Now, some of you, you're thinking to yourself, okay, I'm about to leave right now. So just hang in there, okay? If you want to throw a book at me later, that's okay too. But I just want to kind of lay this out for you. I want to think, how many of you have siblings, okay? How many? How many of you are glad that God brought these siblings into your life? Okay, that's good. For some of you, I'm sure the jury is still out. So let's just say that, you know, you began to notice some differences as you were growing up. Your bedroom was 6 foot by 8 foot. And your siblings was 15 by 20. Well, that's okay. But then you notice that, like, you got, like, beefaroni out of a can, and they got lasagna with garlic bread. So that's okay. They noticed that your parents got your clothes at Value Village or the thrift store, and they got your siblings at the Bay or HM or some other cool place of which I don't know, okay? When it came to pets, you noticed that your parents got your sibling a dog, and they got you a cat. Okay, hamster, okay? The coup de grace came, okay, when you graduated from high school and you noticed that your parents got your sibling a Mini Cooper and you got a used PC. Now, money doesn't necessarily describe love, right? But it does kind of let you know that there's something going on there, right? Let me throw out another one. Say you got married. I know, big what if, okay? But you walk down the aisle with this person, and you stand, and you look into each other's eyes, and you cry, and you say, all that I am, I give to you. All that I am, I will love you with your whole life. I love you. I love you. I love you. And it's all good. They said the same thing. But then you notice that they put the house and the car and everything in their name. Well, that's okay. But then you notice that, you know, when they go on vacation, they take a trip to Dubai and stay in the tower, and you get a bus ride to Punxsutawney for Groundhog Day. Okay, I mean, Groundhog Day is good, you know, but not like Dubai, right? And when it comes to driving to work, they take the Mercedes 450S, you get the 1985 Hyundai Pony. Okay. Go on vacation, and they get the Kawasaki jet ski, you get the paddle boat. So there's, you know, like, it's, they say they love you, but it seems to be this common, you know, kind of a thing of who can love me the most, right? When it comes to them. So money doesn't necessarily, I mean, giving somebody a bunch of money doesn't necessarily say that you love them or prove that you love them. But when there's a big difference between the two, you have to ask yourself the question, what's going on here? Now, I want to talk about this whole issue of, and this is how you see it in the Bible. I just want to take a trip down through the Bible in terms of how this plays itself out, okay? In terms of what happens with our money and our stuff. See, we're all different. We're all different. You know, you may like, you know, plain coffee, and I might like mine all jazzed up with milk and caramel and, you know, and cream and all kinds of other stuff. You know, you may like to, you know, go on vacation to exotic places. I might like to just, you know, spend the money on a good TV. I mean, we all are different, but we all give. We all give. And my point is that we all give to ourselves in one way or another. Now, one of the first things that you notice when it comes to the Bible is that the big issue that people had with God is that they thought that he was scamming them, that he was cheating them. When he said, you know, you have every tree in the garden, but you can't have this one. And their thought was, if you won't give it to us, we'll just take it. And so they do. And that sets the course for everything that goes on, you know. They have two kids, Cain and Abel. Abel, it tells us, like, God had asked for the first and best, and so he comes and he gives God the first and the best from his flock. Cain says, you know, I'll take a tour through my garden and, you know, I'm sure God will be happy with a few vegetables, but God is not. He's ticked off because, you see, God calls him on it. And when, you know, Abel still seems to be the favorite, he kills Abel. I don't know, maybe thinking he's going to be the favorite. You get into Moses, and all of a sudden he starts talking about tithing. This is something that is also seen in Abraham. You know, he defeats this army, and the first thing he does is he gives a tenth of it, a tenth. So a tithe is a tenth. What is a tenth of $10? Anybody know? Just yell it out. What is it? $1. What's a tithe of $100? What's a tithe of $1,000? What's a tithe of $2,000? $20, okay? So I just want to make sure we get that, because a lot of times we use that word, you know, when we don't really live it out. So what happens is, you know, this kind of keeps on going. And what you find out when you look down through the people of Israel is that basically their philosophy is, we will serve whoever gives us what we want. That's what their philosophy was. And of course, if it happened to be Baal, they'd serve Baal. It was like God du jour. By the time Malachi comes along, the prophet of the Old Testament, you know, things had kind of reached their lowest point. Now, these people had already been to exile, so they already understood what it was like to flip God off and find out where it landed them. So they come back from exile, and he says, God asked for the first and best. You're going out to your flocks, and you're looking to find something that's diseased or crippled to give to God. We think God's stupid. He's too dumb to notice the difference. And he has these words for them. And this is God speaking to them, okay? From everything that we're told here. This is what God says. You have cheated me out of the tithes and offerings due to me. You're under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Now, what's interesting in this is that as you read this, God's saying you're cheating me because that part of what they had belonged to him. And what they're thinking is, well, you know, we need a new car, or we need a new house, so we'll just take that part and use it for what we want. And God says, you're robbing me. Why would you think you could do that and that I would want to bless your lives? That doesn't even make sense. Now, the whole thing, like, what would people would probably say, well, we don't have enough to give you a tithe. And what God is basically saying here is, why don't you try it and see if you don't have enough to be able to give? So Jesus shows up. God the Son shows up on this planet. Now, how many of you think that Jesus said, you know all that old stuff about tithing? He said, that's just Old Testament stuff. I wouldn't worry about it. You just spend your money on yourself. How many of you think that that's what he said? Well, that's not what he said. Now, the problem is he ran into some people, very religious people, and they're thinking, well, you know, we're going to tithe our spice rack. So they're, you know, like, let's give God a little bit of salt, a little bit of, you know, and it's like this whole thing of God might give too much, we might give too much to God, so let's just make sure that he doesn't get too much. Jesus calls him on it. He says, yeah, tithe. Yeah, you need to do that. But he said, what I want to see is I want to see a change of heart. Because unless your heart changes, you will lose the plot. You will miss the point. Now, one of the things that Jesus brings up is he basically says, where's your treasure? Because he says, you know, where your treasure is where your heart is going to be. And if your treasure is in your stuff, if it's in your money, then giving it is going to be excruciatingly painful to the point where you probably won't do it. But he says, if your treasure is in heaven, and what he's talking about is he's talking about people. That's God's treasure. Then he said, then you're going to have a chance. Now, think about how we get our money. I don't know how you get your money. Maybe you steal it. I don't know that. But, you know, typically what you do is, you know, we're given so many hours in a lifetime, right? I don't know how many of those are, but, you know, let's say it's 80 years worth of hours that we get. We trade part of those hours in. We trade part of our time for money. So when we give, you know, our money, when we do anything with our money, we're trading our life for it. And if a car, you know, costs you, you know, $100,000 or $50,000 or whatever car costs you, then you're trading part of your life for that car. Now, Jesus said, where your heart is where your treasure is going to be. Now, there are three accounts in Jesus' life that kind of clarify some of the things that he has to say about money. The first one is this young religious leader who comes up to him, running up to him. He's breathless. You know, what do I need to do to be saved, to have eternal life? So Jesus says to him, he says, well, you know the Big Ten, right? You know, don't murder, don't steal, don't lie, don't, you know, wish that you had what isn't yours and so on. He says, how are you doing? Guys, well, you open up the Bible. It's like my picture's there. It's like you describe my life. I do that all the time. I've been doing that ever since I was a kid. And then Jesus says this, looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. There's still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you'll have a treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. At this point, man's face fell, like it was the big one. I can't breathe. It was a heart attack. You know why? Well, Jesus goes on to say here, for he had many possessions. He went away sad. And Jesus looked around and he said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, what is he saying here? Is he saying, you know, if you're going to follow Jesus, you need to give up everything that you have, you know, and go live on welfare and give it all to the poor? That's not what he's saying. What he's dealing with in this guy is that this guy had all these commandments memorized, but he missed the first one, which is don't have any other gods before me. And that's what he had done. His money had come between him and God. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus identifies this God that is right now reigning in our world. He calls it mammon, which is just money, stuff, greed, all this stuff that tends to run our world. Now, how many of you would say that money is not the God of our world? You think, nah, I think it's something else. I think it might be, you know, the God of all gods. I think it's money. And I think that's clear in just about everything that we see. Money. Money runs the world, right? There's another story from Jesus' life that illustrates how beautiful giving is and how tricky money can be. So he's, you know, just a couple days away from the cross and so on. And so Mary and Martha and Lazarus have a big dinner for him. So Lazarus has, like, just, you know, recently been raised from the dead. Must have been fascinating conversation, okay, around the table that day. So Mary comes out, and they're all sitting around. She comes out, and she has this jar of perfume, really expensive stuff, and she breaks the lid off the thing and pours it on Jesus' head. Now listen to what happens. Some of those at the table were indignant. Why waste such expensive perfume, they asked, if it could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor? So they scolded her harshly. Now, just to understand this, a year's wages, that would in our case be, you know, either the cost of a Mercedes, a new Mercedes, or a good used Mercedes. That's a lot of money, right? And the question that they ask there, particularly Judas, is, well, that's not what he asks, okay? So that's That's, you know, another amazing picture. It says, why would you waste money on Jesus? Why would you waste money on Jesus, especially that much? Like, I can understand, you know, you want to, you know, take out some cheap $10 perfume and dump it on him and stuff, but why would you waste that on Jesus? Now, what's interesting about this account is that it's at this point that Judas turns on his heel and goes out to betray Jesus. Listen to what it says. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priests to arrange to betray Jesus to them. And they were delighted when they heard that he had come, and they promised to give him money. Now, you can always tell when greed goes to the heart of a person is because, first of all, they become obsessed with it. And he was obsessed with this. And what's interesting is 2 days later, Mary is at the foot of the cross, and Judas is hanging from a tree. Interesting end, isn't it? One more illustration from Jesus' life. Immediately before this account, Jesus has been saying that, you know, that what God wants is to love God with all that we are and to love our neighbors ourselves. Okay? So Jesus is at the temple, and he's standing by the money box, and he's watching people give. Now imagine if he did that here, you know, like he's following the ushers around. We took the offering a little while ago, and so, you know, he's watching what you give. Now I suspect from what this is saying that he does care about what we give, and he notices it. Let me read what happens. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Now people were watching this, you know, ka-ching, you know, and they think, wow, what a generous person. They put in a whole big pile of money. Listen to what Jesus has to say about that, okay? He says, then a poor widow came and dropped in 2 small coins. Jesus called his disciples to them, and he said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions, for they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, as poor as she is, has given everything that she had to live on. Now, is it a good thing that rich people put in large amounts of money? What do you think? Of course it is. But it didn't even bother them. It was just, you know, like they had this money, like it didn't scratch the surface of their lives, didn't create any pain in their lives at all. And I'm guessing from what Jesus said here is that something, it ought to do something in our hearts when we give. It costs to give. Let me put it to you like this, okay? I brought something for you, if you want it. I got some chili here. Anybody want some chili? This is about 5 days old, but I think it's still pretty good, okay? So, got chili, and got some taco meat and stuff. Not much here, maybe for one taco, so we got some taco meat, and then, you know, got some pasta. We had spaghetti the other night. We had this left over, and then we got some green beans. These are probably about 2 weeks old, but you don't have to worry because there's no bacteria in green beans, okay? So we're good. And then there's chicken. We had chicken the other night, so we got some chicken left. Anybody hungry? Now, what if I were to, you know, come to your house, you know, and I've got a television crew and a bunch of important people with me, and I came to you and I said, we've come to bless you. We cleaned out a refrigerator and you get the leftovers. How many of you would be thrilled with that? That's what this is talking about. It's talking about giving God leftovers. Leftovers, by definition, are what you have left when you're done stuffing your face. So in other words, what happens sometimes with our giving is we get ourselves everything that we want, and then, you know, hit Sunday, it's like, oh man, see, I don't have anything left. My goodness. There's leftovers. And that's why the Bible says you give him the first and you give him the best. You give him the first and the best. And that way it becomes clear who's more important. Now, the truth is that we all give, right? We all give. We give at work and stuff like this. Life and time, God's gifts to us. We trade a portion of what we've been given, you know, whether we're working at Walmart or IBM or CRA or, you know, the IBP or the RCMP or the NFL or the, you know, whatever we're working at, you know, we earn a wage and then we use that to live on. It's trading life for money, and then we trade that money then for the things that we need. That we all know that, right? Now sometimes you give when you don't want to. How many of you have ever met the CRA in your paycheck, okay? And if you, like, it's not like they come and ask for it. Like, they take it, you know? And if you don't give it to them, they'll come and they'll take away your freedom. They'll put you in jail. So there's some people that take it. And then there's all kinds of other stuff and so on. You know, now, here's the other part of the problem in our lives is that every week we watch ads on TV. And you ever seen people on TV, you know, they're smiling, you know, and they're laughing, you know. If you buy our pimple cream, you'll be the happiest person in the world, you know. Or if you buy our peanut butter, you know, you'll just smile. You'll say, ah, it's so good, I can't stand it. That's kind of the idea in our world, right? And they pay people a lot of money to be really happy with this stuff. Now, the problem is that kind of the joy wears off. Anybody here who's ever experienced, like, the joy of something new, okay? Anybody? I have. How many of you have ever gotten a new car or a new something or other, new boat, new engine, something like that? And it's really fun at first, you know? And you're like, ooh, this is so good, you know? Then 2 years later, it's kind of like, well, I still like it. 5 years later, 6 years later, I'm still paying for it and I can't stand it. So here's what happens in the world system. It's like, it's okay to not hate it. We will help you to get a new one. And that's what happens. And our lives get all wrapped up in debt. And Jesus says, don't fall for that stuff. Because it doesn't deliver what it promises. Now, in our heart of hearts, we know that money doesn't make us happy, right? But there is a certain amount of joy that we get. You ever watched Property Brothers or something like that where somebody gets a new house and they're dancing around, they're crying, oh, this is so good, this is so amazing, this is our dream house. Go back and visit them 5 years later. See if they're still dancing around and crying. Because it doesn't last. And that's the thing, you see. We trade a piece of our lives for something that doesn't last. And sometimes to the point where we don't get a chance to give to something that does. There are a lot of different things that happen, and I just want to talk about some of the areas where we need to be transformed, you know? Like the question that you have to look at through the Bible is, what are you? Are you the owner, are you the manager? According to what the Bible says. Anybody know the answer to that? We're managers, right? We're not owners. Everything belongs to God. You know, I like new. We've already talked about that. There's a certain prestige that comes with owning stuff. And even though we understand the fact that it's not going to bring us enjoyment forever, there's a certain amount of sense of, well, I'm going to lose a little bit of my power. You know, I'm going to lose a little bit of my prestige in front of my friends if I don't have the cool things that they have. Prestige comes. And then there's the what if. And, you know, you hear this all the time. You watch the ads and so on from insurance companies, and it's like, what if you didn't have it? What if you get to the end of your life and you don't have enough money? What if you have to travel to see your kids in a suitcase, you know? I mean, it's like all kinds of stuff that comes up, and that gets asked all the time. We also get deceived. Jesus talks about this. Remember, he's talking about the parable of the seeds? And he says, it's possible to trade the fruit that God could give you in your life because it gets choked out by money and stuff and worrying about all that stuff. And the final one is greed. It's greed. You know what greed is? See, we tend to think of greed as being, you know, like Wall Street. You know, remember the movie Wall Street, Michael Douglas, you know? Greed is good. We tend to think of, you know, greedy people who sit in their basement and throw their money around. I love my money. You know what greed actually is? Greed is an obsession with money. Greed is when you think about it all the time. Greed is when it, you know, becomes a part of all your conversations. It's when it obsesses everything that you talk about and think about and creates fear. That's what greed is. And greed becomes a part of our lives, right? Jesus talks about this, if you'll remember. It's the story about the rich farmer. Anybody remember that? So this guy has great soil, and it apparently grows a lot of crops, and you know, and he harvests them and stuff, and he comes into this massive problem. I don't have enough storage for all my stuff. So he gives himself this little speech, you know, I know what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns. And so he builds these bigger barns and stuff, and he's got his problem solved for the future. And Jesus' comment was, you're a fool, because you're not going to be around long enough to even eat all the grain. Even if you did, you'd still want more. See, God's treasure is human beings. And you can see this by, you know, he created, you know, he just spoke, you know, gold and silver and stones and everything like that into existence, but he personally created human beings. He breathed into their nostrils. He came and he talked to them every day. He didn't come to talk to the whales, all the animals, especially the cats. He came and he talked to people. When Jesus came, he said that he came to seek and save the lost. He spent his whole life healing and talking to and giving food to people. His thing was people. And that's what he says. Invest in people. Invest. You'll be glad if you invest in people and in their eternities. And his means of doing this is the church. Now, here's what I know. This is the world system. And it's all based on money. And if you live there, you will miss what God wants for your life. Because I guarantee you, if you live there, you'll never be able to give. Like, it'll always be leftover time for God. And what God is looking for in our hearts is he's looking for generosity. See, the way this works, and I think I have another amazing thing here. Well, this is, you know, the question you're going to ask at the end of your life is, where will you wish you had given? Is it going to be, you know, you're going to say, you know, I wish I would have had the bigger house. You know, I know I'm dead now, but I wish I would have gotten the bigger house. Or I wish I really gotten the nice car, you know, like the big fancy one, you know, because people would have been impressed with me and I'd be so much happier now if I'd gotten that. Or, you know, I wish I would have gotten, you know, the cell phone X instead of this thing. And you have to think ahead. And where you're going to be glad that you invested is when you have a chance to meet face-to-face the people you invested in, people whose lives were changed, people whose eternities were changed. I mean, you think about it. You know, if you had invested in Billy Graham, think he'd be glad to see the difference he's made with his life? Mother Teresa, all these people made huge difference with their lives. And that's what you and I will want when it's all said and done. Now, here's the deal. You're going to give someplace. We all do. And the way this works is that, you know, that the joy and the meaning of giving, it's not like, you know, you're going to be jumping up and down the first time you do it, but over time, what will happen, and especially as it goes beyond this life, you will be glad that you gave. You know, 05, 10, 15, 20, 25, you keep on going, and you make a difference. The way it works with money and stuff, the happiness of more, is that it just keeps going down, and it ends at the grave. And that's not what anybody wants, I don't think. So I just want to ask you, what do you think God blesses, and will you give it? What do you want from God? You want leftovers? Now, this is the promise, okay, that comes from Malachi 3. It's a challenge. He says, if you tithe, if you are willing to give, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up the windows of heaven for you, and I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. And that's what I want to say to you. Try it. Try it. Why not? What do you have to lose? Try it. Here's my guarantee, okay? Let's say I'm going to just say, okay, why don't you try it for, let's say, 2 months, okay? Now, if you come back to us and you say, you know what, I tried it. I tried what you said, you know, and I had to start eating dog food, you know, and you know, I had bill collectors calling me all the time because I wasn't able to pay my bills, and life just took a total nosedive from that point on. We'll give you your money back. How's that? Okay? Okay? Give it a shot. What do you have to lose? You know, and if you're thinking to yourself, yeah, Ken, did the board put you up to this? Come up and preach a message on this stuff, you know, because we're all running behind and things are sad and so on. And so you got to give us a, you know, kind of a punch in the nose to get us going. No, they didn't. And if you think that's true, you know, like if you think we're doing the Tam and, you know, Jim and Tammy Baker thing up here, you know, given to, you know, some, you know, name Christian theme park or something, I give your money someplace else. But give it. At least try it. At least try it. See, you know, you guys know I do this, okay? I do this record thing and I keep track of anything that I spend and stuff like that. And this tells me that in this last year, I spent I spent more than that. Anyways, I spent a bunch of money on food, okay? You know what it tells me that I spent on my cell phone? $5,000, like for the whole thing, for all of us, for our family and stuff like that. That's a lot of money. That's a cell phone. But I'll tell you what I learned. See, this tells the story of what I believe in. And don't get excited because I'm not going to show it to you. But, you know, back when Lori and I first started out, so I was making $160 a week, and you know, we were doing really well, you know. And then 4 years later, it got bumped up to $250 a week, you know, so I was doing really well. And so we decided, okay, we think, you know, given the fact that we have a house to live in and everything, that 20% would be about right. So we'll give that. I'm telling you, you know, I have way more than I would ever dream I would have. Everything we have is paid for. And I'm telling you, if you just like look at the numbers, it would not be obvious how that happened. Just saying that what God says is true. But you got to try it. And I'm convinced if we'd kept all that money, says, oh man, $160 a week, that's not, you know, we'll wait until we make more to give. I'm telling you, it would have never gone to God, and I'm telling you, we would not have what we have. It's not, you know, give to God and he'll, you know, multiply it 100 times. I'm just saying that this works. But you never find out until you try it. So try it. Try it. Try it. And see what God does. God, I thank you for your power to change our lives and change our whole value system. And I've done this probably in an awkward way today, but I know that it has to be you. You have to speak to us. You have to get to the core of our lives. And you have to convince us, God, that what you're up to is more important than what we accumulate and what we can park in our driveway or in our garage or stuff into our houses. Help us to believe in you. I pray that you'll give us the courage to try what you ask us to try. In Jesus' name. You know what that song sang, right? Gotta keep your eyes up. Remember the story about Peter and how he went down because he took his eyes off of Jesus. Book was written, you never walk on the water if you never get out of the boat. And that's what it takes on these issues, because you'll be scared to death. But I just want to challenge you. Try it. See what God does. Because we live in a world of need. You're familiar with what happened out in Halifax, right? Syrian refugees had just lost 7 of their children this past week. Friday night, we were planning the memorial service for this guy from our own church, Nathan Morrison, who lost his life. There's all kinds of stuff like that. When we give, we have a chance to make a difference in people's hearts. Keep these things in prayer. May God prosper you. May God meet all of your needs. May God give you courage and faith and hope in your journey.